You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
Holla at your boy. We in the building. You already know what it is. Clock Early. Radio Speakers. yo, if we could have a third person on the show who just randomly did ad libs behind our conversation, it'd be the greatest show ever. Or if you just had a soundboard of Jeezy ad libs, maybe
do that. We could do that.
That would be amazing. Hey, but you gotta do like Trap or Die, Jeezy. You can't do like nothing past 102.
You know what I saw? Speaking of Trap or Die, I have to ask you. Actually, you should intro the show before I ask you this.
Clock Radio Speakers, blah, 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 Facebook, Twitter. Ask me the question.
What's going on, everybody? You can visit clockradiospeakers.com. Check everything out about the show that you need to. He is Armand. I am Doc. Follow us on Twitter. What I was going to ask you is, I think it was Complex or somebody ranked DJ Drama mixtapes. I saw this online. They did not have Trap or Die as number one.
They do not?
They had Dedication 2.
Why?
Because they're idiots. I don't know.
I don't trust Complex anything. I don't trust Complex anything. I don't. Nah. They're like two notches above Vlad. Nah. I'm cool. Was Separate But Equal on the list? Probably not.
Yeah, that was like three.
It's up there. It's up there. It's up there.
Anyway.
No, we might have to do it. Do we have to do a DJ Drama retro?
No. No. Why
not? Hey. That would be great, actually.
Because then I'm going to sit there and get really mad that I have to listen to poorly EQ'd shouting music I want to hear.
Drama wasn't that bad.
No, he wasn't. He's no K-Slay.
Yeah, he's no K-Slay. I know a guy whose speakers were busted by K-Slay tapes. Shout out to my boy Ryan. Like, he used to have 212s, I think, 212s. And one of them busted because we used to play We Are the Champions, which was on a K-Slay tape first. No, it was on a Clue tape first, and then it was on the K-Slay tape. And they busted. Or one of them busted. So shout out to K-Slay. Anyway.
Shout out to K-Slay for busting my friend's speakers.
Right.
So where can the good people who are listening find you on the Twitter?
Oh, on the Twitters? On the Twitters? At Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. ArmandWakeUp.com. They have everything else. Blah, blah, blah.
He is really selling himself, people. You need to go and check this man out.
You know, if you know, you know. You know what I'm saying? If you know,
that's
you know.
Such a rapper thing.
It is, but I'm a rapper. Look at how that logic works.
What's going on, everybody? You can follow me on Twitter at @doc_beats, S not a Z. We are off to a ragged start this evening. But So what's going on, man? What's new with you?
Man, holla at your boy. I don't know, man. It's getting cold out here. It's getting cold in these streets.
It's a beautiful day here in Connecticut. At least it was. It was like maybe up to 60 today.
That's what we got yesterday, and today it jumped down to 30.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it. Winter's creeping in.
At all, creeping on the come up.
Right. Nah, it's about to be miserable between, you know, for the next 6 months.
Yeah, man. And also trying to see. Oh, that's another thing I'm trying to do. I'm trying to head up to Detroit. Because Stevie Wonder will be doing his Songs in the Key of Life concert up there. So
you got tickets?
Not yet, but I got them.
You got a hookup?
Yeah. Holla if you hear me. Shout out to Master P, Sons of Funk, Scott Steiner. So apparently it's like a 3-hour set.
Yeah.
And I missed Michael. So, you know, Michael wasn't trying to come to the States. No way. We ain't appreciate him. So I wanted to make sure that if there were any other greats who were anywhere near me, that I would go see them before they pass. So I'm trying really hard to make this Stevie Wonder thing happen, because that would be dope. That'd be super dope.
Yeah.
So.
See, the problem, like, because Stevie came to, I think it was in Madison Square Garden, and
yeah,
the problem with that is like any city, it's gonna be might be a little expensive to get those tickets if you wait too long. But like in New York, just if you're not getting it immediately, forget about it.
Yeah,
like, that's the only bad thing about being so close to New York. It's a gift and a curse, right? Where, yeah, every artist comes through New York at some point, and I'm, you know, 2 hours, you know, and that's on a bad day. I'm 2 hours to New York. But, you know, if it's a really big name artist, no, not happening. It's why I saw Kanye in Boston, you know, because if I would have tried to see him in New York, it's like, not happening.
I mean, but you know, I love Mekanen, was just in New York a couple weeks ago.
See, I could have seen him.
Yep. Nope. You could have been there for Punchgate.
Punchgate.
Yeah, you didn't see that video where he got punched on a Tuesday? He was in the club performing on a Tuesday and he got punched in the face?
My life makes you think I'm going to click on a video that has the phrase, that has I love Mekanen and punch in it? No, no.
And people said it was allegedly from Troy Ave's crew.
He's just going to worm his way into everything.
And it's funny because then I get mad when like people ask me, hey, Ernest? I'm like, no, I'm not making time for that. But I had time to watch I Love Mekanen and get punched in the face by a Troy Ave weed carrier. How does that work? It is obviously getting cold outside and I'm having less to do.
Right, right. You've been watching NBA though.
Of course. How's that league pass working for you?
It's great. I mean, like, so, you know, I got done with work tonight and I knew we were going to record the podcast. So when we record the podcast, I don't cook dinner. Like, we just, you know, find whatever's around to eat because my wife doesn't get home till after we start recording typically. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to watch, because I didn't get a chance to watch it last night. I'm going to watch as much as I can of the Spurs Warriors game. I love that. Just watch stuff on demand because I'm more of a morning person than a night person. So like on the weekends, I wake up naturally like 6 o'clock.
Oh wow,
6:30 at the latest. So I just wake up and start watching NBA.
Oh wow,
it's great. Then you get up at 6:30. Yeah, I just get up early. Like sleeping in for me is like if I'm past 7, there's something wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
I'm an early bird, so
nothing wrong with that.
But no, so a league pass has been great. If anything, it's nice because the early part of the season, I'm really just like skipping around and trying to make sure I can see like as many teams as I can.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get a feeling for like what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And
what are your early thoughts? Like who's on your radar?
Every time I watch Cleveland, I just end up on the NBA trade machine on ESPN.
who would you get rid of?
I would get rid of their backcourt.
So Kyrie and Deion?
Both of them.
Wow.
They're from Duke and Syracuse. They can't be trusted, number one. But college biases aside, you know, I've never understood the Kyrie hype. And then you watch him, and he's obviously incredibly talented. But right now LeBron's playing this game where he's clearly trying to get everybody else as involved as much as possible. Yeah. So you're telling me that the Cleveland offense, there's going to be sections where instead of having the best player in the world shoot, we're going to have somebody who thinks he should be the best player shooting. Like the problem is he's not really a point guard. He's a tweener. You know, yeah. he's a shoot first point guard. And the history with those type of players and like playoff success it's not very deep. Fon Marbury 2.0.
Oh, wow.
Steve Francis. Like, is it that big of a difference?
Oh,
he hogs the ball. He's not efficient. He can't play defense. What am I missing something?
Oh man!
See, and when we were younger, there was a debate about those type of players, right?
Uh huh.
And unfortunately, a lot of that was sort of, and they would lump Allen Iverson into that. Although he, to Philly's credit, they figured it out. Like they just played him at shooting guard.
Yeah.
They would often have to pair him with a taller point guard who could play, who could switch on defense.
Yeah.
Right. But they just said, you know what? You're scored. We're not even going to try to have you play the point.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. He might have brought up the ball up at some point or another, but he was always a shooting guard, right?
Yeah.
But Allen Iverson was often lumped in this as well. And then it was more of it was always more of like a, I don't know, you'd get like these old crotchety sports writers complaining about the game and stuff like that. And I felt like the conversation about is that like the type of player you want got caught up too much in that generational thing?
Yeah.
But now we have a lot more analytics about the NBA. Like we know what shots are better than others to take. It's the reason why watching the Lakers is hilarious.
Absolutely.
It's remember the SNL sketches, Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer?
No.
Oh my goodness. That's Byron Scott. Basically, it's like it's Phil Hartman and he would look like a caveman, and the whole gimmick was he'd be in a courtroom and he'd be like, it was basically, I'm not familiar with these laws and custom, like it was kind of stupid, but you know, whatever, SNL can be like that sometimes, but it was funny. But that's pretty much Byron Scott, you know. Nope, you know, we're not gonna understand that, you know, the corner three is kind of important and mid-range jump shots are a crapshoot, and like all these things that we just know.
Yeah.
And we know, I don't know, when I, not even knowing, like, you just watch. Like, you watch Kyrie, the ball goes in, and it doesn't come out.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of ball hogs.
Obviously.
Right. So, them, him and Deion, no. Get it. How about you?
I mean, as far as what?
In general, NBA, what are your thoughts?
Man, I got to see the Cleveland and New Orleans game the other night.
Watch that one. That's the one I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one we talked about. So, you know, I'm still giving, I'm going to give Kyrie a pass just because he's always been the first option for much of his college career, all of his NBA career.
You played 8 games in college.
All right, whatever. All of his NBA career. Blame right. Comic Sans then. So he's been the first option. They try to make him the franchise. He had a little problem adjusting. He finally adjusted. Now you've got the best player in the world and possibly of our generation on your team, and you have to adjust your game. I'm looking at what happened with Chris Bosh, where Chris Bosh totally had to change his game. Took a lot of heat for it, no pun intended. And now that LeBron is gone, he's flourishing. I think that Bosh is going to have a great season, and Miami looks good so far. So I just think it's going to take Kyrie and a lot of those players a while to adjust. And it's even and you can even tell, like, LeBron is adjusting. LeBron doesn't really know what to do yet. He knows he could easily take the game over. You can tell that his game's a little slower. He's getting older. He looks a little injured. Something's nagging him.
I read that. I think it was something with his back was nagging him.
Something about his back. So you could tell something's bothering him, but they're still trying to figure each other out. So I'm giving them a pass. Like, dog, we're 3 weeks into the season.
I
ain't too much tripping. But on the flip side,
yes,
I really, really, really like watching Ashiq and Anthony Davis play together. Like, they have the potential to possibly be like a second tier Twin Towers, and that's no diss. I just think that, you know, Dave Robinson, Tim Duncan are two of the greatest players ever. I don't think Ashiq is going to be on any list, but, you know, coupled with what Anthony Davis is doing, he's a great complement to that, and he's actually like a solid player. So, like, if they learn how to do that right, New Orleans could put some pieces around that and could really be a threat to the right team. So,
right. I mean, their problem is, like, their two-guard situation. They're really sitting there thinking to themselves, man, we might have to start Austin Rivers.
Exactly.
Because Eric Gordon is that bad.
Exactly. That sucks, and we talked about that. Like, how all of those mid-range players who had solid years, a couple of breakout games, got money thrown at him just because of the LeBron-led NBA, where you kind of have to, like, have all these specialty players on your team. But just because they're specialty players don't mean that they gel together. And then some of those people had a good season and they just decided to, you know, get that money, get that dough. And Eric Gordon, I mean, but on the defense, on the flip side of that, like, all right, you get an extra, I don't know, I don't remember his numbers exactly, but you get an extra $15-20 million onto your contract. Aren't you gonna kind of cheese a little bit? Like, yo, I got bread right now, just off rip. Like, and then, like, wait a minute, I need to earn my paycheck. Slow down, and then you contribute. And there's a little pressure with that too, because you're making a lot more money, you're expected to perform at a certain level.
I hear you.
So, I mean, you know, but. That doesn't negate your point. New Orleans needs some other pieces around those two big men. Otherwise, it's just going to be two great big men who are never on television, never doing anything of any worth, and, you know, fighting for the 10th seed.
I'll tell you, honestly, just to, like, swing back and sort of close this out, because we got a lot to talk about that's not NBA related. The nice thing about League Pass is I don't have to sit there and be at the mercy of, you know, and the NBA thinking that because the Knicks are a big market team that I want to see them.
Absolutely. 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 The Knicks and the freaking Lakers. Like, I'm good. And right. I don't need to see Houston 3 times a week. They're a good team, but they're, like, sometimes just, like, I don't.
They're joyless. I mean, I'll give Dwight credit. He's playing well this season. I just, watching, why can't I think of his name right now? I'm going blank.
Harden?
Thank you. Is just joyless.
It's like, fam, like, you've got Toronto, you've got D.C., you've got the Pelicans. You've got these, like, exciting teams that, just because they're not in the big market, ESPN and TNT is not going to put them on TV, and that sucks. So then we have to stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning, watch Inside the NBA, and be like, "Whoa, that was a crazy game. Wish I would have saw that one instead of the Spurs and the Mavericks again."
All this to say, if you're a basketball fan, you should figure out a way to pony up for League Pass.
There you go.
League Pass should sponsor this show. No, I'm just kidding.
They absolutely, NBA holla at me. Adam Silver holla at me. Holla at your boy. Speaking of holla, it's the 11-year anniversary of Cameron's You Mad on Bill O'Reilly.
11 years? Wow.
11 years. You mad, you mad.
Little did we know that would just really like foreshadow an entire decade of trolling online.
Man, Cameron has so many sons out here. So many sons. Crazy.
So what else you want to talk about? We got some music stuff to actually talk about.
Yeah, we do have some music stuff to talk about.
Your man Rick Ross.
Ricky Rose. Shout out to the pair.
Right on cue.
You called it. Clockstradamus struck again. You called it.
If you're going to have a Jay-Z feature in 2014, you need to milk that for all that it's worth, which means well, give it to Flex. You need to get New York radio playing your music. It will automatically get played because it has Jay-Z on it. That's number one. Number two is, oh, go ahead.
No. Just to the Flex point. One thing I don't like about Flex premiering records, because I did like sit and listen to Flex premiere the record. And I'm not gonna talk about him bringing the record back for 45 minutes.
Did he really? But
yeah, absolutely. He literally like gradually played it. So he played the intro. He brought the intro back like three times. Then he brought back the first half of the first verse three times. Then he brought back the rest of the first verse three times. Then he brought back a piece of the hook three times. Then he brought back the rest of the hook three times. Then he brought back the second verse three times. And it just consistently, and Ross has three verses on that record.
This sounds like an SNL sketch gone wrong. Like, so, how has Keenan not done a sketch of being Funkmaster Flex yet?
And this is his last season, so he better pony that up.
Oh my goodness.
But the thing I don't like, this is what I was gonna say, the thing I don't like is that it hits the internet at the exact same moment as it world premieres.
Why does that bother you?
Just part of my tradition that I just like, you know. I just come from an era where it was on the radio first and then it went online.
So you think that we should have to endure
Yes, it's because I did. Because I made the sound decision to endure it. Everybody has to.
In my day, we had to listen to Funk Flex drop 10 bombs. So you have to listen.
But it takes away from the world premiere because people are like, "Oh, Flex bombed the record." But like, who heard Flex bomb the record?
New York.
Not really. Because it was immediately on everybody's SoundCloud. Before Flex played it.
For people who are online, yeah, but there's still a decent number of people who listen to the radio.
No, there is. You're right.
So that this is a marketing campaign.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I just wish it was, the focus was more so on the radio moment. If you want to create the moment, put a spotlight on the moment, you know what I'm saying?
But well, it helps to have a song that could actually inspire a moment.
Okay, so now let's just talk about the song.
Yeah, how do you feel about this song?
I don't. I guess my only highlight, Ross is rapping. Ross is rapping. He gets a little uninspired, like halfway into the second verse. He just kind of trails. Well, the third verse is uninspired, but the first two verses are solid. He's rapping. You know, that hook is just the ultimate troll.
Right. So we should clarify. So it's Rick Ross with Jay on the hook. It's called Moving Bass, produced by Timbo.
Yep.
Timbo. We've come a long way from that. The beat is not bad.
It's driving. It has a little bounce to it.
There.
Yeah, it is just kind of there.
This doesn't have the name Timbo on it. I don't think it makes it anywhere. It's a fine beat. Like,
It's a mighty fine beat.
It's a quality piece of audio engineering. No, I mean it works, but it's not. I don't know. What's interesting, right? I mean, if it doesn't say produced by Timbo, and if somebody other than Jay does this hook, there's no way Rick Ross lets this out before the album, which is sort of marketing more than anything else, right? It was an opportunity for him to have basically Flex do an advertisement for his new album. Good move on his part. Right. The hook is, you know, of all people, like, so the tired notion of, even though I'm a rapper, I'm still moving weight. Right.
Yep.
For Rick Ross of all people, like, we're like, this is like an Inception type of, like, we're talking Inception layers of of nonsense, right? Where we all know that Rick Ross never did any of that stuff. He was a cop. I mean, Rick Ross took the sort of rap as wrestling to new heights,
mm-hmm.
right? But then to have a record where Jay, who is so ridiculously rich at this point that him saying this hook is just, you're right, the ultimate troll. But then to have this hook, like, so never mind that we all know that he never really actually did anything. Now we're supposed to imagine that he's still doing it?
Moving bass? I don't know, man.
Am I thinking too hard about a Rick Ross song?
Yeah, I've gotten... I get... Ross is like...
He's a character.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's no different. I don't expect, you know, Sylvester Stallone to be walking out in public with, you know, machine gun bullet belts wrapped around his chest playing Rambo. You know what I'm saying? Like, Ross is Ross. And... You know, my only critique of Ross is, again, I just wish he would make more lush Justice League records. He's kind of in this.
I would actually just take dope records. Like, you know, yes, I appreciate the lush Justice League stuff, but that at times can even become sort of a parody of themselves.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, it's like, oh, we're Justice League, so here's 20 instruments, you know, and it's like, no.
There's 20 ish. Yeah, I remember that was your critique of Maybach Music 4.
Oh,
you said it was overproduced. Didn't say it was overproduced. Then they had to switch at the end, which I ended up rapping over. Shout out to Chevy Pop Music 3.
So, anything else you want to say about Ross and Jay-Z?
Nah. When does Hood Billionaire drop?
24th.
So, we should have it
next week. There you go.
Yeah, there's a listening session tonight, so, you know, get ready for them good old over-exaggerated reviews.
Not that we're bitter or anything.
No, we're not bitter at all. I just, you know, it's just like those bloggers and journalists, they're happy to be there. And they, you know, they express that within their review. You know what I'm saying? Then you get the ones who get mad at the ones who, you know, over-exaggerate the good reviews and then purposely are have a heavier critique just to make sure that they place themselves at a different place than everybody else. So, oh, Watch the Throne didn't make me cry in the planetarium. It was okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's okay to even say it's okay, but if you're purposely taking that opposite stance just to differentiate yourselves, you're just as bad. So, whatever.
We need to have a listening session in a planetarium.
Fam! When Kairos 2, like, yeah, I'm already thinking about this stuff. Where are we going to have the listening session at? We have the one on Google Plus, classic night in hip hop history. But, you know, we're going to have to figure something out. Maybe we'll have it at like a zoo or something. Cause we're making a zoovie.
No.
No?
No. Just cutting you off right there.
Dang, now you got me thinking. All right, what else we, what else?
Now you're thinking, really, where could you do it?
No, seriously, where can I do a all right, what else?
Your man and his friends.
Who that?
That would be Joe Budden, Royce.
Yep.
Crooked.
Yep.
Yellow Wolf was in there.
Yeah.
Some guy named Eminem.
Joel Ortiz, you also forgot.
I forgot Joel.
Can't do that.
No. They did a Shady 15 cipher.
Uh-huh.
Is this on the album or is this just a promo?
Nah, just a promo.
Okay.
It's 25 minutes of rapping. I doubt. You have to be, I mean, I'm not, yeah, you have to be an extreme fan to listen, because before they put the link on YouTube, it was exclusively on Vivo. So I went to go look at it to you know, cast it on the Chromecast and watch it on the flat screen. And lo and behold, there are people who had a live review of the freestyle via Google Hangouts. Crazy. So so people are watching them watch the video and smirk. Oh, that was crazy. Oh, man, that was really good. Like, crazy.
Wow.
I watched 10 seconds of it to know that that's what it was. That's, yeah. Anyway.
So what'd you think of the cipher?
I liked it. I liked it.
Who stood out to you?
M. I want to talk about M's verse.
Okay.
Come
back to that.
Royce. Royce stood out. I liked Crooked initially. It didn't have replay value, but the first time I saw it, I thought it was dope. I mean, basically everybody but Joel. Joe's verse was cool. I get it. I like the you know, y'all put a suicidal rapper on the bridge and him talking about other stuff, like personal stuff. I like that because that's what I always wanted from Joe. Like Joe would sometimes try to rappity rap because Slaughterhouse is a rappity rap group. And just rap. Just do what you do. Stay in your lane. Yeah, Joel's the only one that was kind of to me. So somebody said his segment looked like the Everest College commercial. Like, what are you doing? Call a number right now and go to college. Go to class. Lazy. What about you?
I didn't like it.
Of course you didn't.
It, you know, I like music.
I was going to say, you're not really like a rappity. You like lyrics and rap, but you're not a rappity rap guy.
Well, this is sort of like, this is a dream scenario for Slaughterhouse fans where their heroes get to rap, but they don't have to worry about picking a beat.
Oh, stop.
Was that too mean?
Oh, and I didn't like Yellow Wolf. I still haven't seen Yellow Wolf's whole segment.
Oh, I couldn't see it. It looked bad. Joe Budden just looks so sad. I just wanted to him a puppy or bring him, I don't know. Could someone?
I want to treat him to lunch.
I was going to say, man could use a pizza or something. Like,
yeah, what's lunch when on
pizza
me?
Shows up?
Let's just talk, yo. Like, let's, we ain't got to talk about your life. Like, let's just, like, what's going on, man? See the Knicks game last night? Derek Fisher. Let's talk about it. Just random stuff.
He looks so sad.
He does.
The M. Royce dynamic's always funny to me. There's sort of, you know, it's a, it's almost like a, I'm going to make a really tortured NBA comparison, but bear with me. It's like Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant.
How so?
Royce always thinks he's bigger and better than he is, and M always thinks he's not as big and bad as he is. Royce was okay. M was good. And then it just felt like an elaborate troll job in a way. What
How
I mean
so?
By that is like.
You talking
just,
about the Lana Del Rey line?
No, I mean, he talked to Britney Spears. He talked to, like, he went. I don't know. It was a little misogynistical. It felt very much like, oh, you want 99M? Da, 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 da. And I was like, no. I don't know. I don't get Eminem right now. I just don't. He is so technically gifted, but I am so uninterested in listening to what he does.
9 times out of 10, I would agree with you.
Right.
In any other scenario, I would agree with you.
But you thought this was dope.
I thought this was dope. It was even from, I don't know, it was just weird. Like, it's hard to explain why I liked it, but I did. You know, just the way that he was just able to put words together. And this time it wasn't like he wasn't saying anything of relevance, of importance, but they were actually like coherent sentences where sometimes he would just rhyme the stuff because it rhymed.
Right.
It's
one of those things where it's like, I can almost imagine that if you don't really care that much about production, if you're not a nerd about it like I am, that watching when A-Rab Music would do those MPC videos.
Yeah.
I imagine that some people viewed those maybe the same way that I viewed this cipher. Mm. Where I'm just like, okay, congratulations. You're technically gifted. But this does nothing for me.
Okay. So there you go. It just seems like it's not for you, right?
No, I just don't. It's not for me. I don't know. It's just, there's nothing. I don't know. I didn't hear anything amazing. It was all very much like, I don't know. It's, again, it's the showy sort of thing, but it's.
Who's showy? It's a cipher.
I know.
You're showy in a cipher. I can tell that Eminem has been watching battle rap.
Yeah, that's not an encouraging sign for me.
All I watch is battle rap.
Yeah.
Oh, I just battle rap and tech videos and phone reviews.
Your man is working with The Verge now. You see that?
I did. And I totally agree with his video.
I didn't watch the video. What was the video about?
The perfect phone.
Mm.
So he was like, I take, you know, the iPhone 6 Plus camera with this screen, with this battery and put it together.
I mean, that's not really how that all works, but, you know.
It's theoretical.
I hear you.
Jesus.
You get did you get Lollipop yet?
I've been refreshing for the last 2 hours. Of course not. And I don't know how to sideload OSs. So I'm at the mercy of Google. This whole run, the 6 Lollipop, like, it's just been bad. It's been very, very bad.
The review of the 6, not looking good.
No, it's not. But I mean, they reviewed the first. I remember I read a review for the Note 4, and people, there was a few that actually referenced the first Note review, the Note 1, and they kind of said similar things. It was too big, it was too blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I think it was the fact that they jumped up in price, and the whole thing of the Nexus was having great specs for cheap and an unlocked phone. And they basically have thrown that out the window, and they want to jump into the phone race with, you know, Samsung and Apple.
Right. And
they should have just number one, they should have offered a second tier phone, a smaller phone. They should have offered a 5.2-inch screen with all those same bells and whistles for people who didn't want a 6-inch screen. But I don't know what I need. Well, I would like a new phone. I just don't know what to get.
What phone you got right now?
Nexus 5.
It's still not a bad phone.
And I don't like the camera. And, wow. and the camera and the battery life suck. Camera and the battery life are terrible. Like, I will literally, like last night, I had my phone charged all the way up. I went to bed, didn't place it on a charger, woke up, and it was at 40-something percent. Crazy.
You know,
crazy.
You're tired of your phone, not really taking great pictures. You know, another platform out there for you.
You want all in the videos. I ain't going front, and I'll say this on air. I have been looking at the 6, and I'll tell you why.
You should probably get the 6 Plus, though, right?
I don't know.
Might be a little too big.
I'm used to the 6 size. So my Nexus 5 and the 6 are the same size. The only reason why is because I have that jump program where every 6 months you can upgrade your phone.
Right.
You know, it'll be a 6-month commitment. I'm like, what's six months with Apple? It's not gonna kill me. I'm saying, like, I'm just thinking about. But I would like to see what, you know, the M9, the HTC M9. That would probably be the other phone. If the HTC phone, if it has a better camera, I'll go with that one because I really like the speakers on it and I like the build. But I like stock Google too. So I don't know. There's not one phone that just has everything I want, and that's what sucks. And that's why I like that video that he did, because I want to build my own phone. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, and we didn't even plan about talking about tech stuff.
It happens.
Did you see this whole controversy with Nicki Minaj and the lyric video for Only?
The Nazi joint?
Yeah.
Nah. No, I'm sorry. I was looking at something. Yes, I saw it.
So her like apology was basically she had somebody who does this sort of stuff for her, who works on it. The caveat, who's Jewish, and you know, and this was inspired by blah blah blah, and she didn't mean to offend anybody. And I'm just like, the first time you watch this, that's obviously what it's referencing,
right?
I just don't understand. I mean, if anything, just own up to it, you know what I mean? And just say it's meant to evoke militarism or something. I don't know, you figure something out, but like to pretend like it's not supposed to be, I don't know. I just thought it was stupid.
When have you ever seen Nicki Minaj admit to anything? Anything bad? She's always at the center of controversy, but like she never says, like she's supposed to be controversial, but then when people call her out on a controversy, like she's like, no, wait, and she backpedals. Like if you're going to be controversial, you have to understand that not everybody's gonna like root for your controversy. Some people are gonna be offended, and you can't just go the I don't give a F route. You have to understand that people are gonna be sensitive about the things that you say. So whether you respond to it or not is up to you, but you also have to acknowledge within yourself that that is going to be there. That dynamic is going to exist.
You think people are too sensitive?
I do. I do. Mm-hmm. I definitely do. If the hot topic right now, if people are really coming at Eminem for saying that he would punch Lana Del Rey in the face and the Ray Rice thing, like Eminem in 2014, like you're getting offended? Really?
Nah. You know what? Look, I'll be honest with you. Like I heard that stupid. That's what I thought.
You like, was it like, stupid, like annoying stupid, or was it stupid, like slightly offended stupid?
Like slightly offended stupid.
Okay. See, so I have to recognize that although I don't agree with you, your dynamic is totally plausible and exists. And I can't look at you crazy for that.
Right. It's one of those things where I'm just like, how old is he? And he has a daughter. He's like a mature man. And he's still on that shock rap thing? Like, come on, man.
Didn't we just review his album like a year ago?
Yeah.
He's still on it.
That's what I'm saying.
So I'm not surprised that he's still on it. it doesn't shock me that he's still on it.
It's not shocking. He just
showed me a year ago that he was still on it.
Right, but I mean, the only way that people will stop doing stupid stuff is if you call them out.
I think if you ignore it. I was actually talking to somebody about that today. So I gave them the analogy. I gave them a wrestling analogy. Here we go. So wrestlers will tell you that when they come out, when they walk down the aisle, they want you to respond. So whether they're a good guy or a bad guy, if the audience is cheering them or booing them, then they're fine. If they come out and there's complete silence, they're worried. So if you look at our culture now, just reference the Twitter's cocaine episode on Clack Radio Speakers Classic, clackradiospeakers.com. Everything is either great or terrible. Anything that's all right is not getting talked about. That Ross record, we're probably the last people to talk about that record. It came out last night and I've seen nobody talk about it today. It's done. You know what I'm saying? But if the record was absolutely trash, people would be talking about it. There'd be memes about it. There'd be conversations. There'd be jokes. There'd be a think piece about it. If it was great, it would have legs and it would at least get talked about through the end of the week. But if it's average, if it's just whatever, nobody's going to talk about it. So if Eminem, if a shock rapper who's been a shock rapper since Infinite in 1997 says some shocky stuff and like nobody says anything, he's going to be like, whoa, wait a minute. Why isn't this working?
Except you know who the only difference there is that people are saying that they like it because you can look at the YouTube views. You can look at his incredible, right. You can look at his ridiculous sales numbers. Like right. His pocketbook. Not his pocketbook. His wallet tells him that everything is...
Oh, man. Are we in 17th century Europe or something?
His wallet tells him that he's doing all right.
You're right.
So that's the difference with wrestling and real life.
But then that's what built up the response was that people were mad that people were supporting this with money. And it made those organizations like GLAAD and et cetera, who was coming at Eminem all crazy, it made them want to be even louder. Because like, how can you support this? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I don't know, man. I just, like, aren't we supposed to have a verdict in Ferguson this weekend? Like, isn't that supposed to go down? And it's not looking good? Like,
it's not going
to
be good.
There are way more important things to worry about than a rapper using, you know, a singer as a punchline. A 40-year-old rapper using the punchline as wordplay or whatever.
I don't disagree that there are more important things, but I don't think that just because it's a rapper talking about using someone as a punchline, I think that's sort of selling short the impact that, frankly, I mean, Eminem is somebody that young males look up to.
You think so?
Come on, man. Are we really going to have this? Yes.
Nowadays? Right now?
Right now, there are like 15-year-old kids who are like who Eminem is their favorite rapper.
Well, I can okay. I'll tell you why I can't. I can tell you why I can go ahead and agree with that because I guess I was looking at it on an instance where it was the scale of it all. Where you know, 20 years ago, yeah, there were a lot of people who looked up to Eminem. But well, not 20 years ago, 15.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people looking up to Eminem, but nowadays that number has probably dwindled because people have gotten older, you know, more rappers have come, et cetera, et cetera. But to negate that he still doesn't have a really heavy hand of influence on people, that would be ignorant. So no, you're right.
Right. So just the fact that like when stuff gets said, that is, I mean, frankly, it's offensive. Like, you know what? It's not funny to talk about punching women. It's just not.
Yeah.
Stop it. Like, I don't even know how else to say it to people. Stop it. This is not funny. It was never funny, but in culture, it was always sort of a ha-ha, you know, like, it was, you know, 15 years ago, our culture was in a different place, and we are continuing to evolve.
Yeah.
It's just like if Eminem does punchlines about gay people in 2014, it's a different response.
Yeah.
Right? So, just stop it. Like, and so if people don't say anything, then he will continue to do it because he just thinks it's fine. I don't think he's trying to necessarily. I don't think he's advocating that we go punch women. I think it's a case where he may not be aware that people hear that, and it becomes like when you hear something enough, it just becomes something that it permeates. It's not like someone's gonna go hit somebody because they listen to Eminem, but it's this over time factor.
Gotcha.
Stop it anyway. Oh, anything else you want to say about Nicki? No, I'm just kidding.
Nah, I don't know. I could see how people are offended by the Nicki video. But, you know.
The Nicki, yeah, right. I mean, the Nicki video, that's just poor taste.
Yeah, it was just was it. It's the same thing, you know. I mean, she should. This is how I think she's doing it on purpose, because there was the Malcolm X issue with looking, you know, earlier this year. So this is like the opposite side of the spectrum of the same issue. She's just doing things for shock value, which sucks, because number one, she doesn't need to, because she can rap. One, wow. Two, I mean, she's not, everything else is overshadowing the fact that she can rap. So that's why everybody at, when you hit your average Nicki Minaj fan is either asking for Itty Bitty Piggy or Monster. Like, for real, that's what it is. Like, they're either asking for old mixtape Beat Me Up Scotty Nicki, or they're asking for Monster.
No.
Nobody says.
No, you're wrong.
How am I wrong? What are they asking for from Nicki?
The average Nicki fan that you know is asking for that. The average Nicki fan wants Moment for Life or Super Bass.
They don't want Super Bass. She tried to give them a bunch of Super Bass records. They didn't work.
She sold all a I bunch hear of records.
All I see is go back to the old Nicki. That's all. And I'm not talking about from Tim's and Camo dudes.
We've like, talked about this at length. Nicki is in a no-win situation because her audience is bifurcated, right? It is. She has one group of people who want one thing and want another, and she just can't win. And so she tries to tread this middle path, and she's not making anybody happy.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.